never miss the latest game tea. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook at The Game Tea Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Game Tea Podcast X. We post memes, gaming news, retweet friends of the pod, and of course, let you know when new episodes are available for your sippin' pleasure. Links are all available in the description of this episode, so check them out after the show, and thank you so much for listening to The Game Tea Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Game Tea Podcast. My name is JP.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Czar.
All right, Zach, the magical day has finally hit. Xenoblade 3 dropped just a couple days ago as of the time we're recording this. I want to give you just not a lot of time. Five minutes is the intro.
This is not our review. Yeah. We will do Xenoblade eventually.
Oh, honey, I can't do the review yet anyway.
But initial thoughts, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, I watched all the content they provided, and I'd like to say if they didn't really spoil anything, you know, past like chapter 2 or 3, they just kind of got you going. So,
yeah,
everything is a brand new world, and oh my god, I'm excited.
I feel like that's one of the cool things about huge games like Xenoblade, like, because there's nothing worse than when you have a trailer that gives away something like huge.
Oh yeah, and that's like really common in movies and TV shows, and so I don't want to see my game, like, I don't want to see the end boss on my game trailer.
Exactly. So it's like a game that's as big as Xenoblade, it's really nice because, like, even if they do give away some kind of crucial detail, like, they're not going to give you, like, there's still so many more surprises to look forward to. You know, so many things that are happening in the story.
And, oh my god, this story is dark.
Oh. Like, oh, yeah. I love a dark story.
It is depressing and fun and real and good, and I am just in love with the battle system, the music, just the everything, guys. I am put a lot of time in.
Yeah, you were just saying, like, it released 2 days ago, and how many hours have you put in so far?
I'm at 22. I'm only not playing because you told me to.
Because I'm here.
We made him put the Switch down so he could record.
Even then, it's like, I'm sick.
Hey, guys, look over there for like 10 minutes.
I just need to and I'm just this like, cave.
You know, the first 5 minutes, I didn't get it. But the last five, like, I get it. This is a really cool wall.
Man, it's just captivating.
Zach had a good point. All right, Czar, what are we talking about today?
All right, today on the podcast, we are talking about...
Wait, I can't talk more Xenoblade?
That's all you get for now, you greedy asshole.
We'll get to the review.
You will
eventually
get a review. Trust
it's always.
You haven't
time
even beaten the game yet. You're not even close.
10 out of 10. Game of the year.
I'm calling it.
Elden Ring. You're pretty damn good. Mm. Pokemon Legends Arceus. You could stay at average, but
oh, I mean Arceus. I know we're getting off topic. Arceus, I don't know if we can call that Game of the Year. It's good.
It's good. It was a good first attempt. I think that's like a cornerstone, a jumping off point for future amazing Pokemon titles.
I was just memeing. I'm trying to get back to Xenoblade.
I'm just memeing. I was just a goof.
Well, okay, in that note, since Zach has been talking about what he's playing, maybe we should go around the room and talk about what we're playing too.
And why is it not Xenoblade 3?
And why it's not
Xenoblade
3? I will not put the knife down.
Zach, put the damn knife down.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I picked up Stray.
Hey!
And, it's not big news because everybody's been fucking talking about
the
Stray,
the worldwide
right?
phenomenon.
Isn't it free for you?
Yeah, was free, right? So, yeah, the game is usually $30. If you are one of the PlayStation owners who are currently given a go for the premium service, right? Yes, you get Stray for free. So, you know, immediately... It's really nice when, like, I just got the service and I'm already seeing the benefits. Like, you love to see that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Stray, it just matches the service really well, but the game itself is just so fucking charming.
Huh.
It actually is. I don't remember if it was you, Czar, who said, like, you really want to see if they can get the physics right of a cat.
Absolutely, yeah.
In this game.
Yeah, well, I even sent you guys that video because the host from the TV show, My Cat from Hell, the only game he has ever played or will ever play is this game, and he was talking about that notion about how difficult it is to animate a cat in, like, movements, Its ears, its feet, everything.
Well, without giving too much away, I think they did a really good job for what it's worth. Like, first of all, there's a button that's literally dedicated to meowing, so yes. You can just meow whenever you want.
Yes, the biggest joke on the internet right now, the dedicated meow button.
Yeah, dude, I didn't even move for the first 8 minutes. I was just pressing the button.
Just kept meowing.
And then, funnily enough, when I was just having fun meowing, I got a trophy. It's like, you just meowed 100 times.
Yeah.
This is great.
My dopamine is...
And there's, like, you're going through, like, this cyberpunk-style city, right? But what's really funny is, like, just when you almost forget that you're a cat, it drags you right back in by, like, would you like to scratch up this carpet? And I'm like, fuck yeah! Do you want to knock over this, like, tower of books for no reason? Like, you bet your fucking ass I do.
There's a game here? I'm not just supposed to knock shit down?
It's a 6-hour story, which is getting people riled up, but I'm having so much fun just...
Oh, that's not...
Catting
yeah.
it up!
Just catting it up. Yeah, you know, that's not too long of a story. I don't know what I expected for a full-fleshed story to be a cat.
I was going to say, people really out here thinking Stray was going to have one of the best fucking stories ever made in video game history.
Like a 20-hour deep, compelling story. No, this game has a fucking dedicated meow button.
Yeah.
It's clawsome.
It's clawsome.
It's clawsome. It's good. All right, finally, what are you playing, Zar?
All right, I am also playing a game where you play as an animal, but a little bit different. I am playing Maneater, a game okay. where you play as a shark.
Yeah, that's so, right. How have you been enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. It is surprisingly detailed and very compelling. So do you guys remember way back in the glory days of, like, Newgrounds and Ninja Kiwi and
that
such.
Basically raised me. And yeah. Zach, we were on Newgrounds all the time.
Explains a lot, really, think about it.
Well, I think that's pretty much where this game got its start, because I remember back in the day playing a game called Maneater where you would just side-scroll, jump out of the ocean, and eat humans.
That's pretty rad.
And then it evolved into a shark RPG. It's a shark PG.
The shark PG.
Yeah, not to be confused with the movie Maneater, which also is about a shark.
Correct. Yeah. Completely different IP.
Even that got a video game movie. What is this?
What's going on here?
But yeah, and like you spend all your time eating whatever you can see, and you grow, and you can level up your abilities. You can get like new teeth, so like some of the teeth does poison damage or like shock damage, and you can just upgrade all of these abilities by eating more shit.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, no, it's very detailed. Love it. So, I highly recommend.
You're calling it a shark PG?
A shark PG.
Huh?
It was on Google. I just wanted to.
You just wanted to take the win.
I can't claim credit for that. I didn't coin that term.
You're out here trying to start something.
Damn. I really thought it was clever.
It was planted. It was there. But like, I was like, you know what? Let's give Google its due props.
Maybe I wrote it on Google.
You just live to take the wind out of sails, don't you, Zach?
I literally gave rights. I literally blew for the... I gave it its sail. Thank you. Anyway, what's in the itinerary today, since apparently we can't talk Xenoblade all day, JP?
We'll get there. We will get there.
We'll get there when we get there.
You haven't even beaten the game.
I don't need to.
I just want to talk about it. Today on the podcast, we are talking about PlayStation Backbone, the PS5 beta features, a bunch of Nintendo, some quick takes, and some game releases.
All right. Sounds like a pretty big day for PlayStation. We will get into Nintendo here first, but first, let's get into the Backbone. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Backbone, right?
That was me.
Yeah, I mean, that was everybody. That wasn't just you. Everybody's like, what the fuck is going on here? Okay.
I take offense to that as an invertebrate.
Shut up. I didn't know what to expect, but it wasn't that. Okay, so I don't really know where to start off this conversation, because we've all seen these different apparatuses, whatever, right, that you can put on your phone that essentially turns it into a little gaming console. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, a thing with the adjustable bar in the middle where on either side there's like a controller. You put it around your phone, what have you, and then you've got a little game console.
Yeah, I think there's a specific name or term for that, but it is escaping me right now.
Right.
But yeah, essentially just a gamepad.
Well, one of the biggest names in that kind of product right now is Backbone, right? Now, I've been trying to do a little bit of research on, like, how we got here with Backbone, which that's exactly what it is. It's just like some kind of apparatus, put it on your phone, and boom, now you're playing games, right? The difference is what games you could actually play and where you were getting the games from. So PlayStation finally announced that they now have their own Backbone controller compatible with PlayStation and PlayStation's Remote Play. Now, if you're like me, you were probably thinking, well, wait, wasn't that already a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? It was for Xbox.
Oh.
It was for Xbox. That's where a lot of people are getting confused there.
Okay.
Couldn't it still work for PlayStation? It just, the buttons were Xbox buttons?
Technically.
Okay.
It was like...
It still sync with your PlayStation and everything?
To be honest, I don't know that 100%, but what I do know is there's going to be some issues when it's like, hey, press triangle, and you're like, well, I have a bunch of letters and numbers.
So listen, triangle isn't a letter.
It's the top one, guys.
Yeah, we know that. All right, so anyway, the Xbox version of the Backbone has been around for a little while, and it's been getting pretty good reviews, right, for those who actually want to utilize the product. But now we finally have a PlayStation-stylized Backbone, right? And, like, obviously, we'll post some pictures to our Twitter, but just from the picture, I think it looks pretty good. What do you guys think of the design?
I like the design. I mean, I think it keeping the same color scheme and, like, the aesthetic as your as your console is great.
They were definitely trying to kind of utilize the PlayStation 5 version of things, which, by the way, I think is super fucking sleek, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because up until up to PS4, we had, like, you know, square, triangle, circle, X, but they were colored, and, like, the controller was usually black. And then when it came to the PS5, they completely mixed it up with, like, a black and white version of the controller where there's not a whole lot of color to it, but it really kind of contributed to, like, the sleek feel of the PlayStation 5. So, yeah,
and that's the other thing is it feels like a PlayStation controller. Like with this Xbox, I'm going to call it a Backbone. Obviously, that's the name of PlayStation specific, but just for reference, that's so different, and Xbox has such a different feel compared to a PlayStation.
And I think that's ultimately, like, you know, because we asked the question just now, well, couldn't you just use the Xbox Backbone? The truth is, yeah. Like, technically, probably, but now you're getting the feel, right? Like, not just aesthetically, but also, like, the feel of the PlayStation controller. And I think that's what people are really looking for here.
And Sony even, like, tweeted this out. So, like, they work closely with Backbone, work closely with Sony to develop this. And so I'm hoping, like, I don't think it's out there. At least, you know, we're not big enough yet to play test these things ourselves. But
oh, we'll get there. Don't you worry. I want this.
It's gorgeous. And the PlayStation 5 controller is definitely one of my favorite controllers. I mean, I haven't had a DualShock since the PS2 days, and it just feels so premium. And so that's what this looks like. That's what I'm hoping it feels like.
And it's interesting you mentioned that, though, because even if you are jumping from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, there's a much more premium feel in the controller, just from that leap alone. So, I mean, going from PS2, the DualShock 2 to the DualShock 5, yeah, you're going to feel that fucking amazing difference in the quality of the controller.
Well, in that vein, too, and, like, this may be a moot point, but do you guys ever remember, like, back in the day of gaming when you would get that off-brand controller that was, like, see-through?
Oh, you're talking the Mad Cats.
Yeah,
the
It's like, oh, I want an Xbox controller. Well, this is a Z-Box controller.
The Z-Box.
Hey, don't talk shit on that, man. All right, that's the only way you can afford four-player multiplayer.
Yeah, right. I mean,
no,
like,
you're right.
They're good controllers. They're solid controllers. But my point being here is, it changed the way the game felt. Like, you're gaming on an Xbox or, like, you're gaming on a PlayStation. Everything down to what you're holding in your hand determines the immersion that you have. And, like, if you're using that Mad Cats controller on, like, a PlayStation, you're not feeling like you're getting the full PlayStation feel. And so PlayStation specifically making this mobile controller is amazing and just adds to the immersion.
A little side tangent here, but this is absolutely true. When I was younger, I used to think it was a privilege to play the Mad Cats controller. despite the fact that I'm the oldest, and clearly if you're the oldest...
I was gonna say, you're oldest brother.
Yeah, I know. I'm player one. Like, I get first controller, but I used to think the Mad Catz controller was the fucking one you wanted, not the actual nice controller made by Nintendo.
You go over to a friend's house, and they're like, here, have the Mad Catz controller. And you're like, oh, you're letting me have the good controller?
That's what it was.
And they're just like, dumbass.
And what's funny is, like, your younger brothers don't fucking know. They just know, like, hey, if my older brother wants it, that means I'm probably getting fucked over, because that's how siblings work.
Yeah, right?
So it was like, my brother Alex is like, I don't want the nice, reliable Nintendo controller. I want the one with the cat. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Okay, now there's a couple of stipulations to understand about the backbone. So the big question that everybody probably has about this controller is, number one, what's the price? The price is actually not terrible at $100.
Yo, big disagree. How is that not terrible?
Okay, you've got a little bit of a disagreement here.
PS5 DualShock is $69.99 brand new.
That's a fair point.
And this thing is, I mean, based on what I read, it didn't have all the features, which it, I mean, probably shouldn't.
For a device like this, yeah.
I mean, I guess the touchpad would actually be your iPhone, so I guess I feel kind of stupid saying that. But it doesn't have that. Your phone is the touchpad, which you already paid enormous amounts of money for. And the only thing that's different about this is they have a little, like, headset port, and then they have, like, a little charger to put your iPhone into. But then other than that, like, it's just a thing. And the normal backbone is $69.99, which is the price of a controller.
Right.
And so I'm sitting here like, they're charging an extra $30. They put the iPhone and the Sony tax on this thing, man.
You know what? Actually, you're making some damn good points.
And in that vein, I think it's notable that this is only for the iPhone.
Only for the iPhone.
Yeah.
As of now.
As of currently.
And I really tried to do my research on that because I, you know, I was like, it can't just be for iPhone.
But. Well, that's actually what's interesting is like a product like this, like, and I don't even have research to back this up, but I always felt like it would appeal more to an Android user.
Oh, absolutely.
A device like this.
Well, that's what's confusing me is because like Xbox with their mobile controller gimmick, they heavily emphasized Android for use on this.
They know their audience.
Well, and I mean, like, Android is basically to PC, and Microsoft is PC, so maybe this is just a little difference there.
The PS5 is just for bougie assholes, the same people who have iPhones.
I know.
And by the way, I say that full well as an iPhone owner. I love iPhone.
Android for life. Android and Xbox.
So, Zach, you honestly brought up a lot of good points about, well, the price point. But there's a lot more to this story that I want to talk about with exactly what's going on here. So the next question that people have is, okay, great. You've got this controller. How exactly am I going to play my PlayStation games on my phone with the backbone? Well, there's two pieces to that. Number one, there's going to be a customized backbone app that is going to go along with whatever device you end up installing this with, right? But as far as actually playing the games, this is where you need to look at PlayStation's service called Remote Play. Now, Remote Play is essentially a service that PlayStation has where if you are somewhere with a decent internet connection and your, you know, PlayStation, no matter where it is connected to your Wi-Fi, then you can quote-unquote Remote Play where you play the games on your PlayStation library and it streams to your phone, right? And then you can play your PlayStation games.
Okay, pause.
Yes.
So I don't have to be at my house to play this?
No.
They need to advertise this more. So, okay,
well,
sorry.
You're absolutely right, though. That is half the problem here is I feel like not enough people really know about what's going on here, you know? PlayStation has, like, a really solid product here, and we're hearing about it mostly from, like, tweets, you know? And they could be advertising this better. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about the remote app, right? Because you might be hearing, streaming... And we've had so much experience talking about products like Stadia and, you know, Luna from Alexa to the point where we're all skeptical about anytime there's...
I have a little twitch in my, like, shoulder.
Yeah, right I was going to say, right? Like, I said Stadia and you probably had Vietnam flashbacks.
Ooh.
A little bit of twitching going on, right?
Google, all the money, none of the passion. Anyway, keep going, baby.
Thank you, Zach. So anyway, the next piece of this puzzle is, okay... Is Remote Play the service that actually you need to use to stream these games? Is it good? So from the research that I've gathered, to be completely honest, it seems to be a pretty mixed bag of reviews. But for the most part, the bigger tech companies that have really given this like a fair go have said that for the most part, the service is pretty damn good.
Hmm. So is this essentially like cloud gaming then?
That's where it gets confusing because kinda. Because
the PS5 is like your own little cloud device. It's going into the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And then it's projecting specifically to your phone, which you would then have to be on Wi-Fi as well, right?
That's why, yes, and that's why it's confusing.
A really good 5G mobile connection most of us don't have access to.
Because when you think of most cloud streaming for video games, like say you want to play Control on your Nintendo Switch, that's currently a streaming game. You don't stream it from a device that you own, right? Like there's a Nintendo server that has Control, and you're streaming from that server to your device.
Yeah.
The difference here is you own the PlayStation that you're streaming from, right? So that is the streaming device. So it's not technically cloud streaming.
Okay.
But it's a similar process where, like, it's going to require a lot of horsepower, a good connection.
Good internet.
Yes, to really get this to work well. For the most part, the bigger tech companies that have really reviewed this have been saying that it works fantastic. But obviously, the big tech companies don't tell the whole stories.
Yeah, they have a little bit of a bias going on.
Precisely. So in all fairness, I was looking at some user reviews from different websites too. And even then, I think a lot of people, if not most, are having good experiences with the service. You're going to get the one-star reviews, you know, from the country yokels who live in the middle of nowhere and have no internet going, well, this doesn't work. Zach, you're making faces.
I mean, if you don't live in a city, you're probably going to have a shitty time.
Well, that sounds like their problem.
Absolutely true. I mean, like, I grew up 5 miles outside of any town, and the internet was just shit.
I can't imagine.
Dog shit.
Even Omaha, like, I feel like we probably wouldn't have a good time playing this, even on 5G.
And that's why it's so hard to say, though, right? It's because, like, everybody's experience is going to differ.
Absolutely.
But that being said, like, we're in a time of age where you can control how good your internet is by obviously paying for the better services, but...
Yeah. And if you know what you're doing, you can configure your routers to be more open or closed and whatnot.
But that's precisely what's strange about this, is despite the fact that you might have great fucking internet in your home, right? The best internet, hell, you could have a LAN connected to your PlayStation, you could have that thing streaming, like, really damn good. It still then is incumbent upon where you are with your phone on how good this service is truly going to be.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you're taking your phone on the go, we all know how come and go good Wi-Fi is.
I thought you were going to say go to come and go and get good Wi-Fi. I was like,
yeah, they got free Wi-Fi now.
I didn't know this.
Our first sponsor.
Not sponsored by come and go.
But we are trying to be. Actually, I don't think we are.
Are we thirsty enough?
I'm always thirsty.
Hey, I could use a big gulp.
The big gulp.
Hey, don't knock it.
Okay, so that's where we are with the backbone right now. Questions, comments, concerns, anything y'all want to add to this conversation before we move on?
It's a nice, beautiful, overpriced product that you're going to enjoy if you have the extra, you know, money to throw out there and you have good internet.
That's a lot of caveats.
And I was going to say, maybe that's why PlayStation doesn't advertise it as much, because there are a lot of caveats to the system.
And when it works, it works.
I mean, and to be 100% fair, it's not like Xbox was putting a lot of money in their advertising for their backbone either, you know?
That's absolutely fair.
And, it's because, like, when it comes to the portable game market, like, who are they kidding? Switch has that on lockdown.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I don't know how many console games I would be sitting in an airport for most recent sake and, like, pull out my phone, pull out this little controller gimmick and be like, I'm going to play Last of Us or some shit.
Oh, although that does sound awesome.
Well, yeah, but, like, I'd want to immerse myself. Like, if I'm playing a roguelike or something like that, then that's something I'm going to play mobile and on the go.
Right.
But I'm going to bring my Switch for that.
Yeah. And that's the other big thing, is the kind of game you want to play is going to affect the performance as well, right? It's like, if I'm playing a game like, you know, Call of Duty, where that FPS is so important, that's not going to perform nearly as well as if I'm playing something like, Stray, even, where it's just like, you're really taking your time, the frame rate's not super important, you're just enjoying being a cat.
Well, and not only that, but I think this service would do a hell of a lot better if there was some kind of way to get your phone to connect with a TV so that you could stream this mobile game onto a TV. So, like, if you're sitting in your hotel room at the end of the night, obviously you don't want to lug your entire console or PC system with you.
Yeah.
Then you could just pop out your phone, put it into the little backbone, and then stream it to the TV. But I don't know if there's any capability with that.
I was going to say, that's an interesting thought that I don't know.
But, like, other than that, I don't see any use for me personally to use
this. After all this fucking trouble you're willing to go through, just bring your PlayStation with you. Like, god damn.
Get one of those, like, little PlayStation TV things on top of it, like really small things.
Yeah. Those are cool.
They need to make, like, a Roku or a Kindle Fire, but for Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh, not the PS5 with its shape. Like, as soon as these developers saw that, for where they make that little screen, they were probably kicking the fucking screen. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Why is it so round?
But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. So the PlayStation news does not stop just yet. Because next, we have a section that I called Weird Flex, but okay. So coming to us from the PlayStation blog that just came out on July 28th, we've got a little announcement here. PS5 Beta introduces 44p support, game lists, and more.
Ooh.
So, you know, on the surface, that sounds really good, but let's get into some of what they're talking about. Coming straight from the blog, since PS5 launched, we've been listening to your feedback and working every day to bring you more community-requested features. Today, we are rolling out a new PS5 system software beta that includes 1440 support, game lists, and additional updates to enhance your gaming experiences and make connecting with your friends easier on PS5. All right, now just from that sentence, it sounds like a lot of good fluff that when you kind of dissect it a little bit, kind of has like various meanings. But I want to ask one question to start this off. Connecting with friends easier on PS5. Where the fuck is that Discord support we were promised?
Yeah, didn't PlayStation put a big stake into Discord recently? Why are they still using their own chat?
Only that, but Xbox is now in on that too.
Yeah. Yeah, now Xbox has a share of the Discord, and they're advertising the shit out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you want to make it easier to connect with friends, why don't you finally integrate that Discord use you promised us?
Absolutely.
For fucking starters.
Yeah, where is that?
All right, but we'll get there when we get there. So, Zach, it's just... I'm sorry, Zach, am I offending you?
No.
You're like, oh no, I'm here for the chaos.
Zach wants to talk Nintendo.
We'll get to Nintendo, don't worry. This is about me.
Yo!
Alright, so let's start with the new gameplay and personalization options that they're advertising. Now, 1440p is basically, like, the big reason that they made this blog in the first place. And they were just kind of like, I get the feeling that they were like, that's a cool announcement, but not enough on its own to justify an entire, like, blog or tweet or something other. So we'll also put in a lot of other mundane things that we're working about. That's just fluff. And that's what I mean by weird flex, but okay. And even the 4040p support kind of fits into that category. What do I mean by that? Well, 1440p, they're advertising that this is something that's new to PlayStation, but it comes with a lot of fucking caveats. So first of all, you need an HDMI cable that supports 1440p. Second of all, you need a game that supports 1440p. Third of all, you need a PC or monitor or TV or whatever that supports 1440p. So it's like, okay, how many games is this actually going to realistically work on? Like standard local 1440p. You know, like, they don't give a list or anything, but that's my initial question is it's just like...
Why wouldn't they give a list?
That's what I want to know. It's like, okay, so what games will this actually be applicable for then? Like, where will this make a difference? That's what they don't really, like, say here. And, I mean, to be fair, I'm being extremely pessimistic because the truth is, like, what this really means is probably more games that are coming out in the future are going to be optimized for 1440p. But still, that is going to, like, necessitate more hardware that you need to acquire to make this work properly. And it's just like, weird flex, but okay.
And yeah, I feel like as on the service start, they should let you know what is available.
Mm-hmm.
And not having consumers guess, because that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next up, game lists. Now, PlayStation 4 had this really cool feature where in the game library, you could create like game lists and organize your games a little bit better. And then when it came to PS5, they had like a similar feature, but it wasn't done nearly as well. And now they're coming back with that same feature.
So they're taking a step backwards.
They took a step back and now they're taking a step forward to the position they were already in.
Oh.
So again, weird flex, but okay. Right? Although, to be completely honest, I'm very, very happy that they're making this addition because I've been thinking for a long time, oh my god, I wish I had a way to organize these games. For example, one folder that says games I've played, one folder that says 60 games that I will never play, but it's nice to have.
Yeah, that's not even a feature Xbox has, sorting your game list, which seems very obvious looking back.
The other thing PlayStation does is you can make folders on the home screen where you can kind of put games together, which I like because then I'm able to organize, like, okay, horror games or, like, Kingdom Hearts games or shit like that. I actually really enjoyed that feature. And so now, you know, like, again, with the game library of your PlayStation, they're bringing it back. And I'm excited. But, again, it's like...
Weird flex, but okay.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. This one I'm actually a little excited about. Compare 3D audio and stereo audio. So to quote them, you can now listen and compare the difference between 3D and stereo audio on the same screen and then choose your preferred setting. I actually do think that is cool. So basically what they're saying there is if you're wearing a headset, right, then basically you get to choose what kind of audio experience you want to have with the game you're playing. Do you want like a stereo audio, which is kind of more of like your standard gaming experience, or do you want that 3D audio?
Yeah,
you can hear the difference.
The stereo, the difference being is all sound will come in through either the left or right channel, but with 3D audio, depending on where the sound is coming from, it could sound fainter, it could sound more abundant in your right ear as opposed to your left, or even like from underneath of you.
Yeah. Now that sounds really great on paper, and it is cool, but here's my question and something that they haven't answered. Is this something you can do with every gaming headset, or is this only for the PlayStation Pulse headset? You know, that $100 PlayStation accessory. They haven't specified, but what's really odd is if you actually look at the figure in like the little picture where you get to compare, they're wearing a Pulse headset, which makes me think maybe this is a feature only available through the Pulse headset.
Yeah, that's difficult to infer from because on the one hand, it could just be that they don't want to advertise any other headset aside from a PlayStation headset.
That's true.
Or it could be a little more nefarious in that it's very limiting depending on what kind of hardware you have.
Right.
I am going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this is going to be pretty universal, at least for more modern headsets, because that's really limiting if it's just for the Pulse.
I 100% hope you're right, especially since I don't have the Pulse headset, but I do have like their super nice headset that they made on the PS4.
Oh, and if that just doesn't meet the cutoff.
Like I said, like I hope, and to be fair, even like think you're right, I just want that to be true. And if it's not true, if it has to be the Pulse headset, weird flex, but okay.
All right. Oh, yeah.
And for the most part, anything after that is just kind of some different kind of things they have for, like, social features, right? Like, they talk about easier access to the in-game activities, which is a cool feature by PlayStation, right? Where it's like, you know, if you're a trophy hunter, you get a little easier of a time.
Okay, I'm seeing a revolutionary new feature here. Joinable game notification. When you join a party and a party member is playing a game, you can join and you'll receive a notification.
Isn't that already a thing?
Yeah, you would think so.
I swear that's already a thing.
Like, yeah, I know it is for Xbox, because anytime anyone joins my party or game or party and game, Xbox says, hey, so-and-so just joined you.
It's not a thing on the Switch.
Okay, we're not talking about this. Like, buddy, I'm sorry, but, like, the PlayStation... Switch has the games. Switch has the nostalgia. They don't have the cool online features. They're working on it. I don't even know if that's true, to be honest.
Hey, you can now view your friend list from your profile on your Switch.
Oh, that is so nice.
Yeah.
I think you could already do that.
Oh, I don't know. I got a notification the other day.
You know what else could do that? The PlayStation 3.
Well, apparently PlayStation is now just getting with notifications. So.
Yeah, you know what? That is fair. I guess they're... And that's kind of the rest of what's going on in this blog. It's like they have these few cool things that at the same time you're like, okay. But the rest of it is just like here's one. View new friends' profiles. When you accept a friend in the received list, you can now view your friend's profile in accepted requests.
So you just couldn't look at their profile if they added you as a friend?
You could!
What?
Maybe it's like saying before you accept them to make sure, like, is that really Czar?
Well, even that's if that's Czar. True, like, why was that not already a thing? And I'm pretty sure it was.
JP, they had to rush the PlayStation 5 out.
This?
Why?
So they could be in competition with Xbox and everyone could be bottlenecked.
That doesn't mean that you get to just skip out on basic software features.
I thought that was game developing 101 after 2010.
These updates really remind me of, like, 2004, when I would get notification updates from Facebook that says, hey, now you can have friends and a friend list, and now you can chat at your friends, and now you can poke them.
I was on MySpace in 2004.
Oh, did you have a MySpace, Czar?
Yeah, I think I had a MySpace at one
point
or another.
You look like a MySpace guy.
What does that even mean?
I like putting very emotional and grungy music on my home profile to make everyone feel like me.
Okay. Retweet. So if you really need to feel old, I remember seeing like someone reposting a tweet where it was like, I've got a great idea. We should make it so that if you go on someone's Twitter profile, it will like play songs and then like a set list, and then you'll know what kind of music that person is into. And someone replied, we finally reached the point where people forgot what fucking MySpace was.
We're about to go full circle.
You know, and that's what MySpace had it, right? Like, post pictures? MySpace did that?
Yep.
Instagram? Yeah, MySpace did it.
You had a best friend list, man. You want to talk about how difficult it was to pick a best friend list?
Oh,
sixth grade,
dude,
man, that shit broke
that.
Your heart.
Hey, yeah. Tom is always there for you, though.
Thanks, Piccolo.
Tom's my number one. No, you're 100% the hierarchy of friends. It's like, you may be my number 8, but I'm your number 12. So it's like,
what the fuck, bro?
What the fuck, dude?
Sorry I don't play baseball. I'm not your baseball team, you bitch boy.
What the fuck? All right, getting back to PlayStation, though.
Right. Oh, you don't want to keep talking about MySpace? Okay, so, anyway.
PlayStation quality of life features, comments, concerns. Can I talk Nintendo?
That's the thing is, like, I honestly don't have much to say. We're probably going to get more about 1440p in the future. It's probably, I mean, honestly, like, we're already at the 4K stage, so I think what they're trying to do is kind of raise the bar on the minimum, if that makes sense, right? But, I mean, I don't know, I just found a lot of the stuff that they made in this quote-unquote, like, big, like, announcement, like, kind of just lacking.
Yeah.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, that's a good summation.
Here's in PlayStation's defense, like, it's not like they were super mega ultra advertising these features, but I mean, it's straight from PlayStation's blog that they use to talk about the biggest things happening in PlayStation. Hell, that's where we got news of the Backbone. And I'm like, that's a really cool piece of PlayStation news. This?
Meh.
Meh.
Yeah, could be better.
All right, Zach, would you like to talk about PlayStation?
No, I want to talk about Nintendo.
I almost got you.
I'm always listening, JP.
All right, what's
even
going
when
on?
I'm not.
60% of the time, I'm right all the time.
All right, so Nintendo doesn't believe in directs anymore, so that's cool. So we have some tweets to catch everyone up on.
Hold on, what are you talking about?
Well, they had a Xenoblade Direct. That was good. But then, like, I feel like all these things I want to tell you about could have definitely been a direct.
Interesting. Why do you think it wasn't? Do you think they're just trying too hard to keep on, like, this consistent yearly schedule for directs?
No, because they usually have an E3 Direct. And so we had the Pokemon
That's
Presents.
Right.
And then we had the Xenoblade Direct, which, thank God we had that. Fucking I needed that. But usually, in the second week of June, there's a Nintendo Direct. And we're almost at August, and there's been no Direct.
I think it was probably due to, like, theme. They couldn't organize all of these games into some sort of palatable showcase.
Shut up. You just put Mario up there.
Shut up.
You can't go from like Mario Kart 8 to Persona and then
sure
to like Bugsnax.
I disagree. They've always
done that.
I don't know.
I disagree full-heartedly, but I don't know. But, I mean, it's better than any other, to be fair, like, guest that we might have. Because it's like, here's the thing. COVID is not a super good excuse anymore for not putting these things out. Not that it's not still a problem. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying, though, is, like, the world just doesn't care anymore.
And, like, the world has kind of adapted. There are contingencies, and, like, all of these hardware, software shortages are now being corrected.
All right. Probably this is just, like, you know, ominous. Nintendo of Japan, they just, you know, they got their own thing going on. My tinfoil hat.
All right. Who gave you one of those? God damn it.
They got a Switch Pro, guys. There's a Switch Pro coming.
Oh, right? My God.
And if this doesn't come out by March of next year, along with Breath of the Wild 2, I will buy JP and Zara a nice dinner.
Ooh,
how nice. Taco Bell?
We're going to Long John Silver's.
Long John Silver's!
Not sponsored by Long John Silver's.
I don't know where they are anymore. I mean, 20 bucks each, all right? I'm not trying to buy you guys lobster buffets here, all right?
Fun fact, I used to spend the night at Zach's place all the time, and that's one of the restaurants his parents would bring us to on Catholic church Sunday mornings. It's Long John Silver's.
Hey, they got good hush puppies.
I can't just eat hush puppies. Okay, let me. Yes, I could. I don't want to just eat hush puppies.
I could eat fried bread all day.
But if I'm right, I'll think of something.
You guys are going to be really happy.
Yeah,
you guys are going to buy it for me.
Yeah.
You both have jobs.
The Switch?
Now. The Switch Pro.
God damn. That doesn't seem like a very fair trade.
If I'm right,
I get a chicken plank. And
okay, fine. $30 each. All right.
Oh, boy. We're going to Applebee's now.
Then we got Applebee's money. All right. Anyway.
All right. So Nintendo be tweeting things. First up, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 2.
Yes.
I thought this was really good. I am not. First off, this is included in the Nintendo Expansion Pass that my whole family, that's you guys, is a part of.
Hey, damn right.
So we don't pay full price for that thing, but that's nice. And if you didn't pay full price, you could pay $25. And I still think this is good value because you're getting a new track and then you're getting a bunch of tracks that have been updated.
This is one of the things I'm super happy with what Nintendo's doing right now. It's like, by the end of these waves, there's going to be 48 new tracks to Mario Kart 8.
Like, it's an entire new game.
Yeah, at that fucking point, like, I'm extremely... Like, Mario Kart is one of the franchises where they just don't miss.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing good stuff right now.
And it keeps selling. It's like the GTA 5 of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Only they don't have to port it to every single piece of hardware.
Fair, fair. It's coming to PC soon. Just wait.
Over Nintendo's dead body.
Fact. All right, so the first new track is Sky High Sunday, which... I mean, it looks delicious. I mean,
it looks delicious.
It's new, so I think that'll be cool. It'll be fun. Then I wasn't excited about this because I hate desert themed stuff. But Czar was super excited. They're bringing back Calamari Desert.
Hell yeah!
Is that yours? You're excited for Calamari?
Loved that map on the N64. I want to chase the train through the tunnels again.
And so my favorite thing was they spent like a minute. Like it's like a 4 minute trailer. They spent like. Not a minute on Sky High Sunday, like 40 seconds on Sky High Sunday. They spent like 30 seconds on Calamari Desert. They spent 10 seconds on this next track. Maybe less than 10 seconds, but everyone's favorite from the SNES is coming back, Mario Circuit 3.
It's super funny because I did notice that. I'm like, why?
What is there to show, though? It was on the SNES.
Yeah,
so they're like, this is just the quota.
You see the colored rainbow bricks? Yeah, that's what we got. That's the map.
And then one of my favorites, because I love the Wii, aside from the actual Wii game, because of how often you get blue shelled, was the Mushroom Gorge level where you would hop on the mushrooms.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was fun. Yep, that's a classic.
Freaking love that one. So that one's coming back. And then the Mario Tour one, which is the mobile game, if you guys didn't know, most people don't. They're bringing out Sydney Sprint. So if you ever wanted to be a Mario Kart driver in Sydney, Australia... Now you can.
It never occurred to me, but that, I guess.
And your Mercedes Benz.
Does anyone else find it weird that the Mushroom Kingdom can traverse into actual places?
After New Donk City.
You are asking way too many fucking questions
like,
right now, Czar.
They got New Donk City. Why can they go to Sydney? Where's New York?
New York's later. I'm getting there.
New York, I think, was technically the town Mario was in Odyssey. They didn't say New York.
No, it was New Donk City.
That's totally different.
Oh, totally I'm in New Donk City.
Paul, Pauline's the mayor, dude. Did you not see that? Spoilers for Odyssey, by the way.
Spoilers?
All right. And then everyone's favorite. Okay, you know what? Since JP already ruined it, we do get to go to New York. There's one from Mario Kart Tour called New York Minute and no relation to New Donk City. And then everyone's favorite, at least mine, the Nintendo DS Waluigi Pinball's back.
Okay, wow. I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be
literally one of the most fun. Like, it's just like, if you like get like seizures, you probably shouldn't play this one because there's just flashing lights fucking everywhere. And everything's bouncing, there's balls. It doesn't make any sense, but it's a good time.
So, what's funny is, like, first of all, I am excited about these courses that they've been adding.
Before we get into JP's general thoughts, hold that. I love you.
Okay.
There's the GBA Snowland. All right, now that I've mentioned all of them, JP, this releases August 4th. What thoughts do you have on this?
Okay, so there's a couple of observations I've made just from the two waves that they've done so far. Number one, I've noticed that they haven't done anything from Double Dash yet. Do you think it's just... Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot of Double Dash maps already in Mario Kart 8. Like, they got Baby Park. They got... it was a desert level with sinking sand kind of towards the finish line.
True.
And, like, Double Dash... I wouldn't say that they had too few maps, but I mean, it was not a huge library of maps.
No, but I felt like it was some of the most iconic.
Don't they have, doesn't Mario Kart 8 also have all of the Rainbow Roads already?
No.
Not all of them, lot of them.
Okay.
And I think they picked up the best, although they don't have Double Dashes, which I think is one of the coolest.
Pretty much all their D levels are fucking fire. Daisy's Cruiser.
Yeah.
Drive on a boat. That's not in there, right?
No.
There's so many, like, guys, I played a lot of Mario Kart, literally, there's so many freaking stages.
Dino Jungle?
Dino Jungle was the next one. Like, that should be in there.
DK Mountain.
DK Mountain.
That's the final one. Yeah. Isn't DK Mountain already in the game, though?
I thought so, too. It's not.
Huh. Yeah.
Because we did this last time, and I was like, wait a second.
Oh, yeah. That's why this sounds
you
familiar.
Do you see what I'm saying? The more you think about it, the more you're like, why the fuck? I mean, to be fair, the other thought I've had is, okay, they're only wave two into a six-wave process. They're probably waiting for the big bangers for the end of this.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what kind of courses we get for, like, wave 6, 7, and 8.
I think it's just 6 waves.
Is it 6?
Yeah,
I thought it was 8 waves.
Yeah, so we've got 6 waves, and look, I know you can't do math, but try and keep
it. I can't read, I can't math. What good am I?
So the plan is 6 waves coming out from now until the end of 2023. Each of those waves will introduce 8 new tracks.
Oh, that's where I was getting the 8 from.
So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, I think I'd love to see some more, because Double Dash is my favorite Mario Kart of all time. The other thing I've noticed, or not even really noticed, but the other thing I think is interesting, is the amount of maps they've put in from Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah.
A little bit of promotion there, I guess. They're trying to, like, you know, get that going.
That's what I don't know, because it's been around for a while. It's not to say that I don't think there weren't cool things about Mario Kart Tour. It's just so interesting to me that, like, there's some Mario Kart games we haven't seen anything yet from yet. And yet we've got, I think 2 or 3 so far from Mario Kart Tour. I'm just saying. I think that's interesting.
Haven't seen anything from Home Circuit.
Freaking finally.
That's true.
My house isn't playing.
My house is just in the game. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, that'd be kind of cool if you could save those tracks into Mario Kart 8.
They brought Sherbert Land from the GameCube.
Ayo.
Sherbert. I like Sherbert Land.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I'm like looking Yoshi's Circuit, because, okay.
I like Yoshi's Circuit.
Yeah, that one's
I fuck with Yoshi's Circuit.
I fuck with it.
What about Yoshi Valley?
Fuck Yoshi Valley.
That's actually from the DS.
No, that's N64. That's the one that...
Baby Park.
Yeah, where you don't know your position on the map and you have five different paths.
Right, yes. There's too many Yoshis.
All right, Zach, what else do we have going on in Nintendo
World? You're right. The Double Dash representation's very low.
That's what I'm saying. But like I said, I think the reason for that is because they're saving it for the end. They want to put out some bangers right at the end. That's what I think they're doing.
Yeah. So that was your Mario Kart 8 news. That'll release probably by the time, maybe a little bit before you actually listen, a little bit after you listen to this episode. Because
it's August dropping 4th. The 4th. Yes, it's dropping the 4th.
And then, even though we're a little behind on this one, Mario Strikers got an update finally. So it's on its release condition, according to most people. They added Daisy and Shy Guy.
Yes! Shy Guy's cool too, but Daisy! Yes!
She wasn't Daisy. Already in the game?
That's what a lot of people said.
Right?
Like, I could see Shy Guy being added because Shy Guy was also added later to, like, Mario Golf. But Daisy was playable from the beginning in Mario Golf.
True.
And, like, she is a core character. She's more known than Waluigi.
Well, I'd argue that that's not true.
He's the sidekick's love interest.
I don't know what to tell you.
She's the
like
counterpart
that.
To Peach.
Look, I'm not saying that you're making bad points. I'm just saying.
Nintendo, what you doing?
They are giving us free updates that maybe should have been included in the first place. I don't want to tell you. Anyway, Daisy's got all the sass that you remember. Have you gotten to play this yet?
Strikers? Oh, yeah. I've played it multiple times.
But have you gotten to play as Daisy?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
But as soon as I'm back on that field, you use a field for soccer, right? I don't do sports.
I think so.
Is it a court?
No, that sounds wrong. That sounds court. Wrong.
Is it a field?
Yeah, but as soon as I get my next opportunity, Daisy's going to be my gal. Right. I always pick Daisy.
And then my personal favorite from this is Shy Guy. Because they just describe him as he's very average, which means he's very customizable. And I'm like, that sounds like me. I'm very average.
I'm very customizable. Yeah.
And then they're just like, and I love the animations in this game because, like, when Shy Guy gets a goal scored on him, I'm like, oh my God.
God damn, Shy Guy.
He looks so depressed. And I'm like, do you want me to call somebody? Oh, shit.
Like, do you need us to call someone?
I relate with Shy Guy. It's dad. It's bad.
God damn, are you okay?
I don't know. I'm glad I don't play soccer.
If the Mario character you relate to the most is Shy Guy, I've got some... I'm worried.
Brother, do you need help?
I'd say I'm more of a Monty Mole kind of guy.
Charge and Chuck.
I forgot about Charge and Chuck.
Sorry, you're dry bones, you know it, you edgy fuck.
Yeah.
I was drinking water when you said that. Dry bones. That's 100% true.
Oh, yeah.
With a bad pack and everything. Hold on, I'm going to pick myself back up.
And also a good gust of wind and you just reduced to bones on the sidewalk. You just fall apart.
I'm the best goalie ever.
All right. Let me know which Mario Striker character you guys are.
Daisy.
And then everyone's favorite addition is the new armor set called Knight. Focuses on shooting and power.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
I knew you would, baby. I knew you would.
Oh.
So, and then a new stage called Desert Ruin. So,
what is it? Okay, Zach, I didn't speak up earlier, but I 100% agree with you. I hate desert-themed shit.
I think it slows you down. I think that's like it's like with water. Like you don't fucking want to be a or ice. It's like you just make me sad.
I don't mind water levels as much as I mind desert levels.
Did you ever play Sonic games?
No.
That's why.
What?
Just you hear that song.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Heart palpitations, man. Like, I was Sonic. Like eight, like Dad. Dad, I don't feel good.
Why are my palms sweating?
Mom spaghetti. All right. So that's Mario Strikers update. Do you guys have any comments, questions, concerns?
Keep launching that free content.
Yeah, just keep giving more to this game. Like, I appreciate what they're doing. I do.
Okay, and then this next one is a fucking knee slapper, all right? Like, I did not see this coming. I was kind of worried it wasn't going to be here. All right, so next up is probably the biggest news on why I was like, we should have freaking had a direct. Bayonetta 3 had its release date announced, finally.
I never thought I would see Bayonetta 3 news from a fucking tweet. I thought that was going to be a direct announcement.
That one definitely seems like it could be its own direct.
I mean, yeah. So,
I agree.
It looks like Bayonetta 2, but more bombastic. And that is, like, really good compliment, because Bayonetta 2 got some freaking slapping reviews. It was, like, nominated for Game of the Year, and I was like, really?
It was?
That's what I said.
Really?
No, I remember that.
I can't remember what year and what it was up against. It didn't win. I think it was against, like, Red Dead or something. So,
Yeah.
It was unfortunate. But it's a really good game. It's a really good series. It kind of went into the story. The story is based on the homunculi. Which, I mean, if you play Fullmetal Alchemist, you know, it's like, you know what, godly creations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like...
Well, artificially created people.
Oh, okay.
Don't talk to me about Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's my favorite anime ever made.
It's pretty damn good. And the homunculi are out to destroy the Trinity, which, as you know, just so you guys know, Bayonetta's story, like, they just kind of do what they want for beautiful set pieces. Anyway, it's the Trinity's like Earth realm, and then there's the dark demon hell realm, and then there's like the light heaven angel realm.
Okay.
And they're all three kind of battling for control over Earth.
Okay.
Ironically. And Bayonetta's this badass witch, she don't give a fuck. And like, for instance, I did write that my next bullet point gives very little fucks about continuity. Like, I'm pretty sure there's going to be like time travel and space and like multiverse gimmicks in this.
It's almost as if people who play Bayonetta aren't at all playing it for the story or and instead just want to see a beautiful Amazonian dominant woman beat the shit out of people.
Shooting the shit out of demons and angels.
Yeah, it's almost like that.
She's like the like reverse Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know? She's like the badass female protagonist. You gotta have her. She's like a better Lara Croft. There, I said it.
Interesting take. We'll talk about that.
And so, for instance, what I'm talking about is there's literally a section where she's running away from a giant, I can't remember if it was a demon dog or like some sort of hell abomination, but she's on a bullet train shooting the dog on the train. That's literally like a train where you're controlling the train shooting bullets at the thing.
What the fuck?
Yes. Spoilers for the first Bayonetta, you literally like you fight like gods. Like, it's like she just gets like, it just is one set piece, another set piece, and it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's fun as fuck, and the combos are dirty.
Does she say Poyo as she does it?
No.
Poyo.
And so one thing that stuck out to me, really two things, but the combat seems to focus more on like transformation techniques. So like, she used to always like kind of charge up, and like you see a big demon like in Smash Bros, like the demon arm would punch something.
Right. Yeah.
Now she literally looked like she like summons and then can play as the demon, or she turns into the demon in some way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, as someone who like just likes that, like it looks badass as fuck.
As someone who's into that kind of thing.
What? And then totally off tangent, no relation to the fact that this is a Bayonetta game, but there is a mode that like is more party friendly. I don't know how to say this. Parent friendly, maybe? As in, like, you can choose to have Bayonetta keep her clothes on. Because if you didn't know, when Bayonetta summons her demon things, it's the hair on her body. It's part of her witchcraft. Totally makes sense. Okay?
Let's put it this way. If my parents walked in and I was playing Bayonetta, I would immediately switch it to porn because it's easier to it's easier to explain.
That actually checks out.
And so there's a mode to keep it so she keeps her clothes on. It doesn't actually like show any like disgusting. You know,
yeah, disgusting.
Say this like fucking bold for Nintendo. Just like when
Bayonetta is for Nintendo though. It's bold for them. It really is.
So Bayonetta 1 was kind of like it wasn't a flop, but it didn't like do anything. And they ran out of money for Bayonetta 2. And Nintendo said, if you make it Wii U exclusive, they'll like give them the money to finish it. And so that's kind of how Bayonetta like got onto the Nintendo platform. Because they did.
Is that the story? That's interesting. I did not know that.
I'm sure there's more details to it that I could give you, but I'm trying to do a quick synopsis. But yes, that's the story.
Well, wow. Nintendo always has to have just one mature IP exist under their umbrella.
Is that what Conker was for a while?
Yeah. Eternal Darkness. Any minute now, we'll come back. Any minute.
And then it was Bayonetta.
We had Red Steel. And I'm sure another game.
I don't even know what that is.
That was a Wii game where you play like as a Yakuza agent or something. Like,
ooh, that's
cool. Someone in the Yakuza, and like it was cool because you actually got to swing the sword.
The whole gimmick with the Wii.
And that was before the Wii Motion Plus, so people cut on quick.
The nunchuck was your gun, and so you could swing your sword and shoot at the same time.
You know,
the
motion
controls never worked.
Oh, no. I'm sure it didn't, but it sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the time, and apparently you guys have stuff to do, so I'll go a little bit quicker. To wrap up Bayonetta 3, she looks like the Bayonetta that you save from an earlier game, and so that's why I said it's like multiverse, and then there's even like a female Dante in the game.
Ooh, okay.
And so, yeah, it'll release October 28th. Any thoughts on Bayonetta 3 before we move on?
It's funnily enough, I like completely agree with Czar. It's like, this is just so out of place for Nintendo, and I'm all for it.
It's seriously such a fun, if you like action games, it's fun as hell. Like, yeah, like there's a little bit of that stigma because it is hyper sexualized, but it's also like I don't know. I've read a lot of articles, and there's, like, you could argue for both sides, because Bayonetta isn't, like, because of her sexualization, she, like, embodies her sexualization.
Interesting. And so
there's a whole YouTube tangent you can go down. I don't have time for that, but it is, like, she is a badass woman, and she, it's a good time.
Is it more like a combo masher?
It's God of War. It's God of War before it became open world.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it's hack and slash style gameplay.
I was thinking, like you mentioned Dante, I was thinking it was like Devil May Cry, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
Build up that hit counter, try to get to 500 or something. Doesn't do anything for you, but it's just bragging rights.
But it's fun.
You get S rank, you get more rewards.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, and then next up, and I'm going to go quick through this one because it was a one-minute trailer. Kirby's Dream Buffet. It's a four-player Fall Guys. And so, like, there's Kirby's. Like, they've been shrunk. They're on this cake, and they're just enjoying having their best lives. And I think at the end of it, how you know who won is whoever gets the fattest.
Yeah. I love it!
I wish I could explain it better, but just watch the trailer. Like, it's just Fall Guys Kirby. Because there's a bunch of different things, but it seems like the goal is, no matter what, to eat a bunch of food.
Yeah, it's like a race. You start at the top of a mountain, and then you race down to the bottom. Whoever ate the most food wins. And, like, I had a lot more vested interest in this until they showed the gameplay, because I was like, oh, great, we just got Kirby in the Forgotten City. Now we're getting more Kirby content, but it's just another one of those off-track Kirby games.
I mean, Forgotten Land was a banger, though. We weren't going to get something, so...
Yeah. Poyo, motherfucker.
Poyo.
I'm going to skip over this next thing. I'm not going to skip over it. I'm going to say it really quickly and sarcastically. Nintendo Switch phone app, yeah, that's still a thing, had an update. You can now accept friend codes on it.
That wasn't already a thing.
And you can share your friend code. It's easier now.
Yay. Nintendo, why?
Hey, PlayStation just did it earlier, all right? People...
Weird flex, but okay.
They're both bad. No, I'm just playing. And then Pokemon Puzzle League came to NSO.
Yeah, my wife is so excited. She is obsessed with that game. It was like the first game I ever got her to play.
Yeah, really?
Uh-huh. First one.
I used to go to Blockbuster, and I'd be like, Dad, can I get Pokemon Puzzle League?
Wow, that's an old-fashioned sense.
I'm old.
Did the exact same thing until my local video store went out of business, to which I bought the game.
Which makes more sense, because if you just repeatedly rent it after 3 weeks, you're like, you've given me more money than this game is worth.
Yeah, right. Like, I brought it in, they're like, oh, we're going out of business. Why don't you just hold on to that? Fuck yeah.
It's like, hell yeah.
And so, that was the Nintendo Direct. That wasn't a Direct.
I don't understand at all. This would have been a really solid Direct. Like, honestly, like, anything with Bayonetta, because people have been craving that Bayonetta news... That would have been a banger, and I know Nintendo probably has a little bit more news or, like, you know, ongoing news for things that are about to come out. It's like, but then again, maybe, honest to God, they don't have enough meat here for a showcase. Like, that's all I can think of.
I mean, with the third-party stuff, they could have just put it all together, and I think they would have had a really good E3 Direct.
Yeah, how do they usually do at E3? Like, do they usually... Yeah,
they're just my favorite by far.
Well, I know they're your favorite.
No, they usually have a really good
showcase. I mean, like, since the Switches came out, I think 2018 was the one slow year because they only showed Smash Bros. But, I mean, I fucking love that.
And, like, maybe they didn't do a Direct for all of these pieces of news because they didn't think that any one piece of news was big enough to have a Direct. Like, they didn't show... They haven't talked about Pokemon S or V lately. Scarlet or Violet, I think, is what they're called.
Yeah.
They haven't talked about any, like, new immediate-hitting big titles.
Maybe they just really wanted to focus on Xenoblade. And I hope that's it. I doubt it. I think it's more like...
I mean, we do have to
keep... show Breath of the Wild 2 stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're waiting on that.
That could be possible, too, because Xenoblade just released. They don't want to take hype away from that game by showing games that are coming out soon. I don't know.
Splatoon 3 comes out at the end of August. That's literally a month from when we're recording.
Americans don't care about Splatoon.
But they're going to have a Direct for it.
That's true, because it's huge in Japan.
Well, it's just huge for Nintendo... Overall, like, it's Nintendo's eSport, essentially.
Don't go in my search history!
I mean, Splatoon 2, by June 2020, has sold over 10 million copies.
I'm not saying that it does bad. I'm just saying that, like, the crowd for... Like, we have to take into consideration how much influence Nintendo has on the Japanese crowd. And how, like, they're basically, they're like a parent. They're splitting their attention between these two children. And but one child is just getting more attention at times. That's the way I've always looked at it with Nintendo. And I mean, you could make that same argument for Sony. You can make that same argument for Microsoft. But the difference is, like, they're just doing just as much for us here in the States for most things as they are for Japan. You know, I just feel like it's not as pandering.
All right, new Switch, new Metroid Prime 4, new Breath of the Wild 2, and new Fire Emblem game next year. Man, it's going to be fucking banger year, all right? I'm so mad that they've proved me, like, I'm kind of wrong this year because they didn't release those three games and the new Switch.
But, dude, like, there's still
Nintendo's
time.
Nintendo's sleeping on shit.
We still have 4 months left in this year. Who fucking knows what'll happen?
I just feel like this is a calm before a storm. We're going to have, like, a huge tidal wave of Nintendo news sometime soon.
I mean, like, this year has been pretty great for me because, like, January, Arceus. February, I feel like there was a game in February. Maybe it was Project Triangle Strategy. No, that was the first week of March.
And even then, like, nobody...
That game got, like, 9 out of 10. Like, it's a really good
game.
I'm not
saying it was bad by any means. I'm just saying, like...
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, every month, Nintendo's had a banger.
Yeah.
And then March was Kirby. What was April? Was April Strikers?
No, Strikers just came out.
I thought Strikers was in May. April was...
Yeah, what? I know there was
some big stuff. I don't, dude. It's so hard because like
Lego Star Wars. That's not specifically Nintendo, but
I did have a good time with that though. I got that as a birthday present.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what came out around your birthday.
Yeah, that was the big one. Was Lego Star Wars, funnily enough.
But like then you get Xenoblade early,
and we got I guess Monster Hunter was kind of multi-plat. Not kind of. It is multi. It's on PC. But yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter because I think I would agree with you if you were to make the argument that so far this year has been, like, out of all the gaming companies, the most powerful for Nintendo, I would probably have to agree with you. Right? Like, Xbox, PlayStation, they've both had some big releases, right? They've had some hitters.
But they've been focusing more on hardware and, like,
true.
You know, extending their service as opposed to gaming as a whole.
I 100% agree with that.
And so that gives Nintendo the room to shine like they have been.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they're holding back right now. They realize competition's kind of down right now, and they're like, we'll wait until competition picks up to kind of keep it spicy.
I think that's honestly probably the closest speculation we have.
It's true.
You don't think my theory has any merit?
No, I think that does have merit, actually. But yeah, I don't know. We're just going to have to see what Nintendo does later.
All right, so there is one quick take, but yeah, time's there. So if you ordered a Steam Deck, guys, you're going to get one sooner than later, probably.
Oh, yippee.
Yeah, so Valve said, hey, we got good news. We're able to ship more. And so along with, like, we've been seeing more Xboxes and PlayStation 5s, like...
You can actually get an Xbox Series X in the fucking store now. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 fucking years.
They're pretty available. I didn't really have any trouble getting my Series X recently.
That being said, PlayStation, we're still having some issues.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it's not... Yeah. PlayStation definitely is not doing, like, great, but everything's better. It's kind of cleaning up a little bit, and so hopefully everyone can join the next-gen train when they want to, not when they get lucky, I guess. Yeah.
But now these Steam Decks are coming quarter four or later. So in the October-December window.
If you didn't reserve one. If you already reserved one, it's going to be maybe bumped up. So
we're
kind of talking, you know.
I'm glad that everybody who's wanting it is getting one.
Yeah, it's just in time for holiday.
And funnily enough, like, there's been a lot of kind of signs that finally we're fucking recovering as far as tech goes from COVID. Right? Because graphic cards are slowly becoming more available. Right, like, we can finally see Xbox Series X's in stores. Like, still a little rare, but it's a lot more likely now. And now, finally, Steam Decks. You know, one of the biggest gaming apparatuses that have been announced within the last year is finally getting in more people's hands. So, we're recovering, boys.
Definitely.
We're doing it.
Woo.
All right. That was a really, really, really big episode.
Yep, and all we have left are the game releases, and I can shoot through these real quick here.
Yeah, what do you got, man?
On August 3rd, we have South of the Circle for the PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. We have two games coming out on August 4th, Hard West 2 for the PC and Turbo Golf Racing for the PC, Xbox Series, and Xbox One. Two games also for August 9th. We have Thymessia for the PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series, and Two Point Campus for the PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. And finally, our last game on August 10th is Lost in Play for the PC and Switch.
Okay, am I the only fucking person that is excited for Two Point Campus? Doesn't anybody else care? Am I the only one? Zach, don't hide your face from me. I see you, motherfucker.
I think it's neat, but I got my fill of these building sims with Roller Coaster Tycoon back in the day.
Oh, it didn't get better than Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Exactly. It's Zoo Tycoon.
I'll give you that. But, okay, I'm a little biased because literally I work in higher education. That's my job. I love college campuses. Like, to be fair, but I'm excited for this game. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to build my own campus. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's fuck you guys. You know what? Fuck you both.
Weird flex, but okay.
Episode name.
Yeah, that is the episode name.
All right, well, that was some big news. Next week, we're going to be talking about what we did from Tales in the Backlog.
Yeah. We're going to discuss our games.
I'm excited for that. So, that is it for this episode. Thank you all so much for joining us on another episode of the Game Tea Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode.
You just got your game tea.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.